Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's March 22nd, 2016, just past the equinox, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. We're coming to you live from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And we're in the Santa Cruz Mountains of Northern California, and what a place to be. I am Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge, because we invited you over tonight to have some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it. And we'll sprinkle it with laughter, good music, and as always, a few surprises. You can't invite Errol into your home without a few surprises.
Well, one thing is not a surprise, and that's our sponsor. Although they were a surprise when they became our sponsor, and what a welcome surprise. That's Go Raw, natural food, healthy, delicious. And we have a co-sponsor in
Universe Spirit, who awakens us to the impact of climate destabilization and gives us information on how to make a difference.
Indeed, they do, and it does, and it will, and we are getting ready.
Definitely. You have something to tell us, Errol?
Yeah, here we go. Did you ever hear someone say something, and then you think to yourself, wish I'd said that? Curious, isn't it? Why would you wish you'd said that? The saying was so clever, you wish you were that clever? You'd like to be remembered for that great remark, like the guy who said it, instead of, I wish I had a lot of money, or I wish I was more attractive. To be honest, these are remarks I have said that I wish I'm not remembered for.
Oh, you wish you hadn't said it.
There you go. Can I take them back? In any case, tonight we're going to be sharing some smart sayings that if I were smart enough, I would have said. But really, it doesn't matter who said it. As I recall, Dwight Eisenhower said something to the effect, you can accomplish almost anything as long as you don't care who gets the credit. Now, since I don't know for sure that he said this, it might have been Reagan. I'll say it. See? Right away, it falls out of the category of, I wish I'd said that, because I just did. That was easy. What a relief. Whew. So, tonight we're going to hear some really astute sayings that I hope you'll quote to your friends and enemies and even your relatives. Like, at the end of our show, we say, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more. But you can quote me on that one if you'd like. You can give me a great compliment by saying, I wish I'd said that. Or not. So we're going to say things about wishing we had said those things. What do you got, Rochelle?
Well, it's so interesting because listening to your opening reading, I thought to myself, oh, that is so fantastic, because I went that same line as you did, the direction you took. Okay, wish I'd said that. Why? When I can simply appreciate that it was said. If what was said resounds so much better with me that I could have said it, how wonderful. So many writers, thinkers say the things that haven't left my mouth or pen. How happy I am that I can read and hear those words and feel gratified that they exist in the ether of my consciousness as well. When I wish that I'd said that, I merely am praising that which has been said. No envy, no regrets, just appreciation. I wish I had said that. I did.
Well, I came upon something that I wish I'd said that I think is very relevant. And you can see if you can guess who said it. Here it is. A nation of sheep will beget a government of wolves. Ooh. Does that feel relevant?
Yes.
That was by Edward R. Murrow.
Great thinker. Edward? Yeah, he broadcast all those radio programs from England during the Blitz.
Speaking of England, Professor Umbridge, do you have anything to say about either the Blitz or Edward R. Murrow or the subject tonight? Did you ever wish you'd said something?
Oh, good evening. Of course, there are times when I've heard things said that I wish I had said. I wish I had said, who's on first? I always thought that was a delightful thing to have said, those two fellows that talk to each other.
Abbott and Costello.
That was something I wish I had said, or at least thought of. Besides the point, the things that I wish I had said, I was delighted to be able to recognize the value in the first place, which I think you pointed out something like that. And to think I had said it, it gives me such a feeling of, I would have been so bright at that time to have said that, which is a compensation for the lack of brightness that I often feel. But that's another question, and I don't think anyone will wish they had said that.
Professor, do you think a certain group of people would use that phrase, wish I'd said that, and other people probably never think that they should have said something that they heard because they don't think? I mean, they're not thinkers, they're not writers, they're not people who play with words, who enjoy it. It's like a painter who paints really well, but sees something that was so magnificent, he could say, wish I painted that. Because there is an appreciation for the thing itself, but there's also the writer, the thinker's ego, and I'm not saying this in a pejorative way, but, oh, that is so wonderful, I wish I could have said it. In a sense, you want that. You want to be able to have said that. Which you are able to say, but not that one.
Well, here's something that I said that someone might wish they had said it, but too bad, I got there first. Here it is. I don't care how old or decrepit you are, you can always laugh at yourself.
Did you say that, Professor Umbridge?
Well, I did say it. Actually, I said it tonight, and I'd like to be the first to congratulate the listener on having being the first to have heard it.
Oh, thank you. I am. I was the first to hear it. That's pretty neat. There's something about that. I was just reading this book by Lisa C., and this woman is talking about how badly she was treated by somebody, and she's talking about it in front of another woman who was also badly treated, and they're laughing about it. And the third person to whom they're telling this is somewhat appalled that they could be laughing at it because it sounds so terrible. But that's the advantage of wisdom. You can laugh at it.
You can laugh at the things that you may have judged before. I've been reading a lot about Winston Churchill. I'm just finishing the final book on The Lion by William Manchester. It's after World War II now, and we're dealing with the crisis in Korea at this point in the book. But I found this line by Winston Churchill, where he says, and I think he certainly embodied it, continuous effort, or perhaps he'd said it, continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential. Or something
like that. Could Errol say that?
Okay. Continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential. Think that's true?
I don't know. In some cases, it probably is true. I know that I watched this thing about the Roosevelts. Teddy Roosevelt always believed in action. Do it. Make it happen. Don't think about it too long. Just do it. And he had a melancholia, or today we call it depression. And every time he'd fall into a space like that, he'd move into action. And it would move him out of the melancholy.
Churchill suffered from what he called the black dog would come over him.
It's probably the same thing.
Yeah. I wonder if it runs in the family of great statesmen. Lincoln had it. That's curious, isn't it?
Yeah, it is curious. There are a lot of great men and women, even, who suffer from depression. Maybe it triggers something. Maybe it goes along with the fact that you see so much more. you're not supported for the most part because you have greater sight. You see more, you understand more. And when that's not reciprocated, when you're not met, maybe that's what leads to the depression.
It could be, or you could just have a chemical malfunction in your brain.
Well, yeah, but it's always triggered off by something, which is kind of interesting.
One of the things that I'm also want to focus on tonight is the whole thing about wishing. I wish I'd said that. Let's listen to Jem sing a song called Wish I. Won't you come home if you're not having a good time, says Jem. Wish I were going with you. Think about wishing and all the wishing that goes on. Wishing is kind of, I don't want to put it down, but it's relatively lame.
It's saying you want something that you don't have and you're dissatisfied and you wish you had something different or you felt different or anything. So many myths and everything else, if you wish hard enough and long enough, you'll get it.
Kind of contradicts what Winston was saying when he said continuous effort, not wishing, he might have said, is what's going to make the difference.
Yeah, a lot of people think of wishing as pansy, you know, like it's weak because you go out and take what you want, you know, wish for it.
And yet, it has a certain nice flavor to it in our consciousness when we allow ourselves to wish, unless it's a wish that's smothered with agony. It's kind of liberating. It allows you to at least pop up and open to something that you're attracted to, that's inviting.
And seeing this Roosevelt, intimate portrait of the Roosevelt by Ken Burns, Franklin Delano Roosevelt contracted polio. It could be very easy to, I wish that I could walk again, I wish this, I wish that. But he would do as much as he could all the time to make that happen. And yet it was impossible because of the disease itself. He was never going to regain the muscles that were eaten away by the disease. in a way, he wished, but he didn't just wish. He actually took action. He bought a place that had these warm waters so he could bring other people who had polio, and they would just be in those waters, and he could move in the waters. It didn't make him feel impotent, that he couldn't walk. There's like someone who say, I wish I could walk, and get very depressed and everything else, but he really put some effort into doing as much as he can, even though it would never happen, ever.
Hello, this is Rabbi Greenberg. I was listening to the conversation. I couldn't help but listening, hearing what you're saying about wishing and things that you wish you had said. For me, it is more about not so much wishing I'd said that, but once someone had said that, if there's any wishing going on, it's wishing I could live up to that great thing they ever said, and I could skip the part about wishing I'd said it and just enjoy it and make it come to life in my life. One of the things I heard once is that love of liberty is the love of others, and the love of power is the love of ourselves. That was by William Hazlitt in the Wall Street Journal. The love of liberty is the love of others. That's very freeing, because it really tells you where liberty is to be found, in the loving of others, because you have endless opportunities to express yourself. That's freedom, is where there's no end, and you can just keep doing it, and it feels good. You don't have to wish for it, or wish that someone had said it, or even that you have said it. You just go on with the loving, and you're feeling free and free. On the other hand, the love of power, now that's something that's very narrow and limiting, is the love of ourselves. You think, for example, at the time of two people, Hitler and Gandhi, lived about the same time. And you think about Hitler's funeral, and you think about Gandhi's funeral. Very different experience. Millions of people came to Gandhi because he had loved others, whereas the love of power, Mr. Hitler, he loved only himself, and no one mourned or wept for him, at least that we don't know about.
There are people who attain power and therefore are able to do really wonderful things. Like Gandhi became a powerful being, and the more powerful he became, the more he was able to accomplish. Now, he achieved that, but there has to be something in someone that gets to that place and they become powerful. So it's not like that becomes the end all, it becomes the means. Power becomes the means to achieve wonderful things or bad things.
Either way, there might be in there something that would have been said that had furthered you along on your journey toward making the kind of difference that you want to make. On the other hand, this by Erica Jong, quoted in the Daily Telegraph. Fame simply means millions of people have the wrong idea of who you are. It reminds me, I once heard Billy Graham, the evangelist. Many of you who are old enough will remember Billy Graham. He was probably the most famous evangelist of his time, and he made a comment once that it was unfortunate that most people came to hear him and see him because he was a celebrity, because he was Billy Graham. And it was hard to break through that to be able to communicate the message. They weren't as interested in the message as they were in the man and his persona. And that made him sad.
That lovely Indian man that I liked so much, he said the same thing. He stopped talking because of it. Krishnamurti, he said people were coming to him creating this image of him, the idol. They weren't listening to what he had to say, and what he had to say he had to do too, and so he stopped talking.
It reminds me of the time we did a class for Matthew Fox and his graduate program at Holy Names College in Oakland. This is a program in creation spirituality, and he was sitting in the audience with the rest of his students, and at the end of our program, he asked us, do you think you are prophets? Do you remember what you said?
Mm-hmm.
What?
If not being recognized in our lifetime means that I'm a prophet, yes. or something to that effect.
Exactly.
Did you wish you had said that?
Actually, I did. That is something that qualifies for I wish I'd said that. Another thing I wish I'd said, but I'm so glad you said it, Rochelle came up with the tagline for our show, which is...
Clothing is optional, yeah, but the truth is always naked.
That is so good. But she lets me say it. So I'm saying it, and so it works out.
But I still go back to the thing that when we say, I wish I'd said that, it's about us. And when we get to the place where we're so glad it was said, because it resonates with who I am and what I would have said or could have said, then it's a whole different thing. And as I said, I think people who are wordmeisters, who love to work with words, they're probably the only people on the planet who would say, I wish I'd said that. Why would anybody else say that? Anybody else would go, wow, that's a neat saying, you know, but they wouldn't think that I wish I'd said that, unless they were people who came up with words all the time.
Well, here's something I said that I don't really understand. It makes me wonder why I would even have said it. But
that's a whole other story.
To live the life you want to live, act as if you're already living the life you want to live.
That's pretty clear.
Yeah?
Gets out of wishing and doing.
That goes back to that being able to act. Professor Schnitzel, are you here with us?
Yeah, I'm here. And acting is very important. And wishing is not something I would recommend for people for all the reasons that you've already described. A thing goes off inside the brain, a biological thing when you're wishing. It connects to the part of the brain that often falls into stupor. And so we have wishing and stupor. They become allies in keeping you from doing anything you want. But when you take action, it catalyzes in your brain a trigger response that moves your muscles. And when their muscles are moved by that trigger response, they are so happy to be moving because they're meant to move and they don't like to sit there and be slovenly. As a matter of fact, they don't even like to use the word slovenly, and they definitely did not wish they had said that word. This was the muscles talking. And they talk to each other, though, and they're always very happy when you use them to take action, when the muscles are very excited about movement. And so I get in, me and my muscles, we get excited together, and we trigger those impulses in the brain. And so we keep the wishing at a minimum, and we maximize the acting and muscling, which is what we call it in slang Germany, Zur Deutsch.
This is one time I'm not going to say I wish I'd said that.
Ah,
it's
yeah.
It's too confusing.
Yeah. Well, then that's the thing about it. Is sometimes you think to yourself, I wish I'd said that. And then right away you think, no, I don't really. I thought I wished it when I thought I knew what it means. But now that I know what it means, I realize it's a verstunkene thing that I have said. And so we wouldn't want to say it, and we wouldn't want to be associated with that thing. Mm-mm. No, we want that thing to go off and be like not said by anyone. Those are the things that you don't like very much to say. Yeah?
Yeah. That part I understood.
Well, one of the things that is good about wishing, that is being able to wish for each other. You see, that's a different thing entirely.
This is my wish for the world, that peace would find its way to every boy and girl. This is the time for harmony. Let love be the song that everybody sings. Joyful noise, ring the bells and raise your voice. Let there be peace on earth, let there be peace on earth. Lift your light and let it shine, shine, shine. Let every voice be heard, let
I hear the sweetest sound, the sound of hope to come. Together we could bring goodwill to everyone. Let it start with you. Let it start with me. Let every nation rise and sing this melody.
Let it begin with me.
Let it begin with me.
No. Let the peace begin with me.
No, not you. Let it begin with me.
Why not me? I think the peace should begin with me.
No, no, the peace should begin with me.
Why you?
Because I'm more peaceful than you are.
Well, but I think I should lead the way. I'm a man. Let the peace begin with me.
Oh, you chauvinist. Let the peace begin with me.
Well, I want the peace to start here, okay? That's it.
No, I want the peace to start with me, so bug off.
You bug off.
You bug off.
I'm not going to... The peace is starting here.
No, it's starting here.
It's starting here. And you're going to keep the peace. It's going to keep the peace. Start here.
Sponsored by your ego.
Whoops.
That was fun. That's the opposite of what we've been talking about, but it's a good demonstration.
Well, I was thinking of the cynicism. I would listen to a song like that. This is my wish. And although I love the harmony, it's a beautiful song and great sentiments.
Who sang that?
It's called Voktev, which I think is a great name, as in octave, Voktev, maybe.
What was it called?
This is my wish. Let's say you want peace on earth. First of all, I'm of the opinion that peace on earth is, I don't know if that's something that's a viable thing to work toward. It's a great in theory, but I think it's much more likely that I have a much better chance of creating peace for myself.
If everyone did that, we'd have peace on earth.
Yes. Yes.
But it has to start with you.
And then, of course, my world changes. So you say peace on earth. The earth changes. Because I'm the one who's perceiving the earth from my perspective. And if I don't get caught up in the media and all its shenanigans. Today, for example, I was working in the lounge and I turned on CNN and they were talking about these 30 people that had been killed in an explosion in Brussels. They were going on and on about it and all these different analysis and points of view and what's happening, the developing story. And I was reminded, looked up how much time of a football game is actually making plays, like from the point where the guy hikes it to the point where the referee blows his whistle and they stop the play, out of the entire 3.5 hours. And it's 11 minutes on the average. The rest of the time is spent looking at the side, looking at the coaches, commercials, da-da-da-da-da.
Commentary.
Somehow I felt that the news is like that. Things are blown way out of proportion. Here you have 30 people who were killed in this terrorist attack, and it's so dramatic, and it gets all our attention. But how many people were killed by automobile accidents today? How many people were killed by...
But it wasn't intentional, and I think that's the part that you're leaving out. You're in an accident, you're in an accident, but someone intends to kill you. That's what they want to do. And there's something about that, in my mind, that's heinous.
Yes, it is heinous. And now that you mention it, I wish I had said that.
Well, you could have said it.
I could have said it was heinous. Just to be able to use that word, heinous, because it's a word that I don't get to use very often. It's true. It's not a word you want to use very often. But when I consider the whole notion of putting things in perspective, there are 6 billion of us having experiences all day long. Understand what you said, the heinousness of a deliberate attempt to kill people in that manner. Of course, humanity has deliberately killed one another forever. But now we take it and give it disproportionate importance. That's the concern that I have when there are so many other areas of our life that we could and need to address that are begging for our attention and are asking for us to be able to say to them, please say that. I don't even have to wish you'd say that. Say something about me and my needs. Oh, we have Senator Beauregard. Did you want to jump in here on this? I haven't heard from you in a couple of weeks. Well, this is Senator Beauregard. I am delighted, of course, always to be here and to share this. Well, here now we have the candidates in this election and all the talking about blue hob over nothing, but I think I've seen Trump on every magazine cover for the last several weeks, I might say, and I don't need to see him again or hear from him, but it just shows you how a country that gets out of touch with its mission and who it is and its real value and gets caught up in all this anger. There was a man who said the other day, it was an editorial, and he pointed out that the candidates are all running against something, almost everybody. One of the problems with Rubio that he made his mistake was that he wasn't running on an anger platform or against something. He was running on an optimistic message, and that was his mistake.
Senator Beauregard?
Yes, ma'am.
It tells me that we are angry. As a peoples, there's a lot of us who are angry, because if that's resonating so deeply with people, then that's where we are. And when you're angry, it's really hard to hear heartening messages. Grieving, you could hear it. But anger, when you're angry, you want to lash out.
Speaking of lashing out, we have to look at what's making us so angry. And I would suggest that it's a combination of fear, of course. It's fear of fight and flight, as we know, but it's combined with a sense of helplessness and frustration and a sense of impotency. And so we project these leaders who compensate for all feelings of impotency, like this man who makes himself very impotent, which is a little different than impotent. But nevertheless, someone like Mr. Trump is helping us vicariously feel our sense of power and anger and be able to wreak retribution on those forces and beings who are denying us what it is that we want, whether it be the immigrants or the terrorists or the other party or the other sex, whomever. And we feel so impotent, and that's why I feel it's important that people get back in touch with that which is going to make them feel their own personal strength, and then the anger will have been abrogated.
I don't have to say I wish I'd said that, because I'm so happy you did.
Well, I'm always happy to be able to say something that I'd like to think is worth saying, and just want to give a plug for our mission before I let you go, because I think that's worth saying, to form a more perfect union and to secure the blessings of liberty. And right now, they're not secure.
Maybe that's why we're so angry.
It could be. Not only do we have this happening, we've got FBI trying to get this record from Apple. And to what extent does the government encroach on our privacy and our freedom? And so we're wrestling with that issue, too. This is a time where a lot of our issues are coming to a head. Not the least of which is the fractured way we try and run a government. You can only go so far with all that fractioning, and then you got to pay your dues. And that's where we are.
Well, what happens with all that fracturing is that you could have demigods take over, because they whip people into an emotional frenzy. And since people definitely feel more than they think, it's very easy to be the sheep that's led by the wolves.
I was reading in Churchill, he was talking about Attlee, who was the prime minister of the Labour Party. He accused him of being a sheep in sheep's clothing.
That's a good saying.
Yeah, I wish I had said that. That was good. Of course, I didn't know Attlee at the time.
It's very interesting to read history that took place when I was born or just before I was born. In other words, part of my life, where I have been reading history that's BC history and history in 1700 and 1600, you know, hundreds of years ago. But lately, Errol's been reading Winston Churchill and I've been watching this program on the Roosevelts. And this is the 20th century we're talking about. I mean, we're only 16 years in the 21st century. So I spent most of my life in the 20th century. I mean, history could be yesterday, but it's history with the big H. There's whole bunches of things that have been said in that 20th century.
Here's a saying. It is the curse of the competent not to be called upon. It is the curse of the competent not to be called upon.
I don't get it.
I take that personally.
I wish I had said that.
Right. Friend of mine, Bari, wonderful, dear man, and he had so much knowledge and so much wisdom. Once I heard someone refer to Bari as a man's man. I remember him voicing that frustration. He was hearing a conversation where someone saying something to alleviate somebody else's problem or suffering, and he made an aside to me. I know the answer, but they won't call upon me or something to that effect. Now, while I try and balance my competence with equal amount of incompetence.
And you do a very good job of it.
But the part of me that's competent is, I sometimes feel frustrated because you do feel like, I do know how to do that, but no one is asking.
Now, wait a second. I have to stop you for a second before you go to incompetent.
Oh.
What we were talking about taking action. The competent man who puts himself out there, he's not waiting to be seen. He makes sure he's seen. And then his competence can be appreciated. So that's a whole other view or aspect of what we're talking about in terms of action.
Indeed it is.
What about incompetence? I want to hear that. I just want to lose my train of thought.
The incompetent part of me is continually messing up. For example, I make this protein drink in the morning, and I put it in these thermos kind of containers. Often as not, it'll fall out and make a mess. For some reason, I didn't put the lid on tight enough. I left the lid partially open. It tilted over. Now, you'd think I would have learned from having made this mistake.
Not if you're good at incompetence.
Exactly. I wish I'd said that. Oh, good. Today, once again, as I went to get it and I looked in my thing, it's a very messy, gooey, thick
it
stuff.
It is. I don't know why he wants to drink that every morning.
So there I am, and it's all over this little vinyl bag that I carry supplies with me around. And it's all over the inside of it.
I'm going to throw up, Errol.
The incompetent part of me goes, I refuse to waste that. So it actually occurred to me to scoop it up.
Don't talk about this. I think that I'm going to throw up right here and right now.
Right. Well, you're probably wishing that I hadn't said that.
I wish you had not said that.
You had said all right, well, let's find out something else that we might want to wish for. This is Rascal Flatts.
I hope the days come easy and the moments pass slow, and each road leads you where you want to go. If you're faced with a choice and you have to choose, I hope you choose the one that means the most to you. And if one door opens to another door closed, I hope you keep on walking till you find the window. If it's cold outside,
Show the world the warmth of your smile. But more than anything, more than anything, my wish for you is that this life becomes all that you wanted to. Your dreams stay big, your worries stay small. You never need to carry more than you can hold. And while you're out there getting where you're getting to, I hope you know somebody loves you and wants the same things too. Yeah, this is my wish. I hope you never look back, but you never forget all the ones who love you in the place you left. I hope you always forgive and you never regret, and you help somebody every chance you get. Oh, you find God's grace in every mistake, and always give more than you take. But more than anything, yeah, more than anything, my wish for you is that this life becomes all that you wanted to. Your dreams stay big, your worries stay small. You never need to carry more than you can hold. And while you're out there getting where you're getting to, I hope you know somebody loves you and wants the same things too. My wish for you is that this life becomes.
My Wish by Rascal Flatts.
Rascal.
He's a rascal. Remember the Little Rascals? That dates, they were like 18th century television, weren't they?
I don't think so, but
with the guy with the thing on the top of his head, Alfalfa.
Alfalfa, that's right.
They were spunky.
It was called Our Gang.
Our Gang.
They used to show them when we were little, but it's not when they originated. They originated in the 30s, you know, Our Gang comedies.
They're older now.
Some of them aren't even here anymore.
Probably most of them. I like his lyrics in that song. I hope you never look back, but you never forget all the ones who love you and the place you left. I hope you'll always forgive and you never regret, and you help somebody every chance you get. That's a big wish. If you set that as an intention, one of the things that Rochelle and I pretty much agreed to set as an intention, and we try to remember, at least I try to remember, except when I'm being incompetent, is how can I serve myself and others? It's key to be able to have it both, because I'm one of the beings that is possibly needing service. So if I include myself in that request, A, it makes it more realistic because I'm included in the equation.
Also, you pay attention to your needs. So you can serve them. Like you pay attention to other people's needs so you can serve them. Because that's true service, is fulfilling a need, not deciding what somebody needs.
Hi, this is Bonnie. I have been thinking about this very same thing here about wishing and what people said. A lot of people said some really something things there. One of the things that I think is important about what people said is that you don't misquote them, because you could really mess up other people's opinion of them. So be sure you get it right, even though you're quoting them and you didn't say it, even though you wish you did. But say it in the right way, because otherwise, this is something I heard the other day. People can only treat us in the way in which we allow. That was by Jada Pinkett Smith from The Hollywood Reporter. And that's a very important thing. They treat us that we allow them to treat us. That in certain ways we realize we have that kind of power to determine how we treat ourselves. And then the way we treat ourselves, we project that energy out into the world. And so if they're going to be with us, they're going to treat us the way we treat ourselves, or they're not going to stay involved with us for very long.
I have another hit off that. The way we take how people treat us, we have total control over. In other words, if somebody is treating us with an intention to do something bad to us, I don't think we created that as much as how we deal with it is who we are. I could take it as an insult and therefore become pugilistic. This is, I want to fight somebody.
No, I wish I had said that word. Not the whole thing. I don't care much for some of the words around it. But that word, pugilistic, oh, man, that's just, that, my tongue is practically has an orgasm.
Very
just
funny.
Slopping it around
Very
against
funny.
My teeth.
I don't totally agree with Jada Pinkett Smith about that. You know, life throws spitballs at you lots of times, and you want to be insulted, and you want to make it get you down, or you want to go, oh, spitball. If I put enough spitballs together, I probably have a nice little thing to roll around on the floor.
One of the things I think is good to appreciate, and that is when all is said and done. Abba, when all is said and done.
Oh, when all is said and done.
The last couple of stanzas. In all our lives, we have walked some strange and lonely treks. Listener out there, I bet you can relate to that, huh? Slightly worn, but dignified, not too old for sex. Hey, I like that. We're still striving for the sky, got taste for humble pie. Thanks for all your generous love, and thanks for all the fun. Neither you nor I'm to blame when all is said and done. Standing calmly at the crossroads, no desire to run. There's no hurry anymore when all is said and done. I'm a little bit of a hurry, though.
I'm glad they said that.
I feel better for them having said that.
Yes.
As a result of this program, I have let go of my need to having said great things.
But because you do say great things.
Once in a while, it just pops out of my mouth unexpectedly.
Doesn't make it less great.
Speaking of great, I want to recommend our sponsors, Go Raw. Great food. Go to GoRaw.com. You can get Go Raw products at Safeway, Trader Joe's, Costco, in the organic section. And say a little more about UniverseSpirit.org.
I want to thank Universe Spirit for providing us with so much information about climate destabilization. suggesting and creating conversation that allows us to be part of change on this planet, change for the better. They have a wonderful purpose. I'm grateful that they exist.
Well, speaking of change and climate change and how it's affecting us, if you go to Job One for Humanity website, you can get a free book written by Lawrence Wallersheim online right now, Job One for Humanity. It really gets into some of the nitty-gritty, and unfortunately there's a lot of nitty and even more gritty in the phenomenon, and it is something that will challenge us, to say the very least, but hopefully bring out our best. It seems that human beings, sometimes we have to have our back against the wall in order to bring out our best. And speaking of Winston Churchill, he was asked if there was one year of his life that he could live again. It was 1940. That was this great year, and that was the year where they were alone. And he was holding the faith and holding the vision that they were not going to be defeated. He must have been in an extraordinarily heightened state of his human beingness, which is my guess as to why that was the great year for him, because it was almost like a single man was holding forth as the rest of Europe was collapsing. There it was. And we all have the capacity to allow that greatness to come forth. Although I'm reading another book about great presidents and why we can't, nor should we want to, have great presidents, because you can't really be a great president, as the author points out, except under times of great, enormous crisis. And in fact, Theodore Roosevelt said that, I was noticing last night. Mm-hmm. He couldn't achieve the greatness that he was capable of, not that he didn't do some amazing things, because there was no great crisis happening in the world at that time, which would have brought that
which
up.
Definitely great. Happened to Franklin.
Well, his cousin got it, didn't
yeah.
he?
I mean, there was crisis when he was president. One, coming out of the Depression, and two, the Second World War.
I was surprised that Eleanor, she was named Roosevelt. I didn't realize she was also a Roosevelt. Talking about keeping it in the family, it's
this
a great series. We recommend it. And we recommend that you go hear some things that makes you go, wow, if I can't have said that, I really want to live that. Because it's such a powerful and profound thing. And we are Inside Out, the Naked Truth. What do people need to remember? Speaking of saying something that I wish I'd said, which I did.
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more, by Errol Strider.
I wish I'd... Well, I did say that.
You did indeed.
Well, I'm glad I said that.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job One for Humanity, Climate Restabilization.
Come visit UniverseSpirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.